The pre-game interview.
Thanks to our good friends at Prestige Jayco out on the Ballarine Highway at Moolap / Newcombe out that neck of the woods, of course, Australia's number one Jayco motorhome dealer. Our first interview of the year. Fantastic to have Geelong recruiter and former K-Rocker himself, Troy Selwood, join us in the K-Rock box. Good to see you, Sel.
This is my first time in the K-Rock box
since the
redevelopment. Gone are the days of when I kicked out the...
Can you talk us through the infamous incident? And it was a big night for the Selwood family.
Yeah, well, that's right. I think my mum and dad came up for an interview. It was
Joel's
200th, and they got through the interview, and I was feeling relieved they didn't stuff it up, and all of a sudden kicked the plug out, sent Davey into overdrive. Andy Mathers is carrying on from whatever corporate box he was in. We had to go to music for about 45
minutes. Pearl Jam 10 came on. The rock was off about half an hour.
We got back to the halfway through the second quarter. It was fine.
So. And we haven't seen you since.
No. Benny pulled me aside and he said, mate, I'm going to have a chat to you, and that's it for you.
You were delisted.
Yeah, that's right.
Welcome. Do you get a sense of pride as a recruiter when you see what the likes of Jordan Clark and Tommy Atkins could produce last week?
Yeah,
out there in
they did a great job last week. Yeah, you do. I guess you follow these kids for nearly three years, a lot of them, and you ride the bumps and the journeys of them all, and you always sit there going, oh, I wonder what he'd be like at that next level and the projection of it all. And, yeah, to see what Jordan Clark did last week was terrific. Yeah, Tom Atkins, who has been deserving a chance for a number of years now. And then even some of the boys today, like our VFL team, had a bit of a disappointing loss. And for some of those kids, it's their first time playing against men. And, yeah, it was a bit of an eye-opener for a few of them. But I think in time they're gonna get used to that and no doubt get better. But even these boys, you sit there and you've been waiting for that whole summer to watch them in the hoops. And, to see them run around, you get quite proud.
What was your involvement in the Jordan Clark recruiting? How much did you see of him live? And I suppose how much discussion did you have with him personally?
Yeah, we all saw plenty of him. I must admit, our WA scout, we've got a great guy over there who was tracking him closely over the summer. He's always got the good mail over there and just said to us, look, this kid's coming from cricket. He's going to be a bit rusty, I think, early on. But let's just watch him closely over the early part of the year. And you just saw as the weeks were going on up until the under-18 championships, it wasn't all there, but we were seeing snippets. And then from the under-18 championships, he sort of took off. And it wasn't as if... Yeah, we weren't the only ones who really liked him, but it was more of... Yeah, he's definitely a draft player, but where does he fit? And as the year went on, he turned himself into a real top ender.
Has that WA scout put the email in for sort of a NAB executive rise?
Yeah. he gets a pat on the back, and I said, what do you want for your pay rise after Jordan's performance? He said, oh, just a couple of Mars bars next time you come over for the grandstand. That's how you pay him over there, mate.
Can I ask you, Troy, when we saw Jordan Clark play really well against men in his first serious hit out, and some kids across the JLT have come in. There's a lot who haven't, who don't, who are not ready. When you're drafting players, you obviously have a board of players. Do the coaches know what the recruiters think in terms of time of development of that player? Do you pinpoint a kid and say, he's going to need, we reckon, at least 3 years? Jordan Clark potentially could play senior footy next year. Do they have an idea of that before you draft that player?
Yeah, absolutely, Benny. We go through, I guess, our final our meetings in the weeks leading in, and there's some kids. We've drafted a group of, there's 12 new players, but 10 have come via the draft. And a number of these boys, we say, look, we can see this guy being able to play some AFL football for you guys and help us sooner rather than later. And then there'll be kids like, and I'm happy to say, kids like Ben Jarvis, Jacob Kennelly, even Oscar Brownless, that we go, these kids, the best scenario will probably be 25, 30 games of AFL footy before we actually can start integrating them into AFL footy. So we just need some patience. And then that allows the coaches and the club to probably sell the bit of patience to our supporters as well, that they will need a bit of an apprenticeship before they're ready to play AFL.
Prestige Jayco speaking with Geelong recruiter Troy Selwood. Here's Pete Ryan on Carrick Footy.
Given that, what's your expectations with Darcy Fort? Obviously had a bit of a taste of it last week.
Yeah, great story, Darcy. And I was just a bit shattered for him last week that there were a couple of opportunities for him to really mark the ball, because that's one of his strong points. He's a ruckman who's really had to fight hard for his chance. And the last few years at Central Districts, he's really pushed forward hard and taken some big marks inside 50 and around the ground. And he just... Maybe they were nerves and so forth because he's had to wait so long for his chance. But Yeah, I'm bullish about Darcy. I thought he was the best state league ruckman outside of the AFL last year, and he's very versatile. He's mobile, follows up well. So I can see him, depending on what the coaches want to do, I could see them playing two rucks and playing him in a side with Asava Radigalea and Tom Hawkins up forward as well, because he does have the ability to go forward and mark it.
Troy, I wanted to ask you, Jordan Clark, obviously a WA boy, and part of the landscape of footy now is kids' ability to leave the club that's drafted them quite quickly and move to another club, and it's obviously frustrating for fans, probably good for the players. Cats are going through it, albeit for a very different scenario other than a young draftee with Tim Kelly in terms of coming over. What sort of things do you do with somebody like Jordan? Because I imagine most kids are going to say, I'm happy to move anywhere. They just want to play AFL footy.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes, they may not be that happy. How did you weigh it up with Jordan, and what sort of things are you asking as a recruiter to try and work out how they will fit into the group, how they'll fit into their new environment, all those things? Because obviously you draft the kid, pick 15, yeah, you want him at your club for 12 years.
Yeah, absolutely, Benny. No doubt you spend a lot of time with that kid himself, whether that be one-on-one or with his family. So going and getting to meet the family set up and speaking to people around him, whether it be coaches, talent managers, just around, I guess, things around his resilience and how he's handled challenges in the past. We're really lucky now, the amount of testing we get and even psych testing on the kids to be able to just cross-reference what we know about them as well. In Jordan's situation, I think the thing that made us feel a little bit more comfortable, he's a kid who's come from Mandurah and Albany, so he's actually come from outside Perth to then move to Perth. Those towns resemble Geelong a bit, so to try and explain to his family that he'd be moving to a town that actually he'd be quite familiar with in terms of the pace of the town and so forth. And you just got to back yourself in. Your club's going to do a great job. We're lucky we've got great development team and welfare team that are going to look after him off field. And the family, from what I know, are really wrapped that he's here at the Cats.
So how... Sorry, Pete.
No, I was just going to say, have they got an equivalent of Lambies in Mandurah?
Yeah. Oh, geez, I reckon it might be rough. I went to Mandurah not long ago, and yeah, I'm sure there are a few Lambie equivalents.
It's Narry World with trees. Oh, Mandurah, I'll give you the tip.
Oh, shit, Betty. You're a bit harsh.
What's that? Oh. Mandurah. I spent some time in Mandurah. I saw Manpower in Mandurah once.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, the Cats made three non-draft selections in terms of a Category B rookie in Stephen Oakenball. And Next Generation Academy in Blake Schlensog, and Nathan Kruger, who was a pre-draft selection that you traded with Carlton to get. It was going to be Carlton's access pick, but whether they're after Nathan Kruger or not, who knows. Talk to us about Stephen Oakenball and what you like about him and how he came onto the radar.
Yeah, we nearly killed a bloke out here today, which I think people get used to a bit. He's a very physical, competitive player. He's a kid that we've been watching for a number of years, Steph. He's been through the AFL talent pathway a bit with some opportunities to come to the AFL National Combine and so forth. So we liked him about 12, 18 months ago. We were restricted with what we could do because the AFL rules state that you can only have one Irish player on your Category B list at any one time. Yep. So we had Mark O'Connor at the time, and Stephen was in Australia. He tested incredibly well at the National Combine, but his kicking was a bit rough, and it is still something he's going to have to work really hard
on. It's a very unique style.
Yeah, and look, I think... So he went away. He missed out on getting a contract first time around, and I just said to our team, we should track this kid, because if he can keep hungry enough and his footy nous can pick up back in Ireland... Athletically, he tests as well as anyone at this National Combine. And anyway, so we watched him really close. I remember getting up halfway through the night a couple of times to live stream some Kerry under 20 Gaelic football. And I was sort of sitting there. I'm like, Stephen, you better not wake my kids, and you better fire up as well if I'm getting up at 2 a.m. And he played some terrific footy last year over there for Kerry. He was named one of the leading Gaelic players at under 20 for his age. And just the way he defends, he's physical, he's hard. He's super athletic, and look, he does need to learn to keep looking after the ball as much as possible, and that'll be the difference between whether he can make it or not. But he's just a super driven kid. I was really taken back, and I remember flying over there and the way how hungry he was to when I met with him and his family, and just thought, we deserve to give this guy a crack.
Troy, with the talent locally here as well, I think Geelong are clearly head and shoulders above the rest. With the access that they've got, has there been a conscious decision to explore that further in the last few years with Stewart and now Atkins, but it feels like with the help of the VFL that you're exploring that more and more.
Yeah, you're right, Hugo. We've done it for quite a number, even Tommy Ruggles and kids like that that have deserved a chance. We obviously, as you know, when you've got some of these kids in your own VFL program, you get to know them really well off the field as well as what they can put out on the field. And Wellesley has always been a really great supporter of our VFL program, and even the Falcons. If you're splitting hairs between a local kid and a kid from interstate, give the local kid a crack. And Tom Stewart, it didn't take long for other clubs to be on to Tom Stewart. It was only a couple of games. But for Tom Atkins, I can see why other clubs might have thought, yeah, good player, but maybe not for us. But we just thought from a character perspective and what he can provide in terms of getting after the man with the ball and the tiny little things that you value within a footy club that sometimes others miss, we just thought, no, this kid has just done everything possible. And just he has. He's tidied up his game. He's more versatile. He's gone from just being an inside mid to being a player who can go inside forward 50. And, yeah, it provides, the hope for the next Geelong VFL kids to sit there and go, well, that could be me in a year or 2 years' time if I knuckle down. Who knows where I could get to?
Just on that, you mentioned Stefan and there's Mark O'Connor who's starting to make some inroads. How much better do they have to be than a local player to actually make the effort to go get someone and pluck them out of Ireland and try to teach them the game?
Yeah, it's a fine balance, Pete. It's a good question because you've got to be careful about soaking up your resources to try and get a kid up to speed, whereas you could have gone, okay, we could have just got an Aussie kid. And I think the thing that people don't quite understand is that the Irish boys are on a separate, they're on a project player list, a Category B rookie list. So you put them outside the salary cap, outside of your normal list. But you are also mindful that you only have X amount of coaches and people that can come and support them. The one for me with the Irish kids that I get, that I go back to, is these kids have to be, and I know Higo's got a young kid, Red Og Murphy, down at North, who I quite like as well. These kids have to be obsessive about the idea of being an AFL player. If they come over and it's a working holiday for them, it'll never work out. They've got to just get here and realise, okay, I'm number 46 on the list and I've got to find a way to get myself to 45, then to 44. And they know that might take two to two and a half years, but if they can't come with that mindset, then they're just not going to get there, I don't think. And we're really lucky that Zach Tui's found a way to do that. He's teaching Mark O'Connor. That's what it takes. And then Mark O'Connor's now teaching Steph. So that's, I guess, a little bit as well as what won me over to give Steph an opportunity.
Just one last one quick before we let you go, Troy, about your brother, Joel. And last year he looked a bit battle-weary, as you would after getting beaten up for the best part of over a decade. And
yep,
it seems that he's had a really modified pre-season, maybe playing a little bit more outside the contest and yep, trying to use his ability to read the play. Is that something that we can expect? And how's he feeling on the eve of the season?
Yeah, well, I think as part of our succession plan in the midfield too is we need to provide some opportunities for Parfitt, for Tim Kelly, for Quinton Arkle, for all these guys to come through the middle. And that'll mean that guys that our mainstays that have been there for the past decade are going to have to spend some time in different roles. And I know that it's really freshened Joel up. He's still going to spend a fair chunk of his time as an inside midfielder. But, yeah, I think he's got the ability to do a few more things for us as well, whether it be a wing or a half-back flank or even at half-forward. But, I think even while I was watching him last week, I know he only played a half, but he looked really fresh and covered the ground well. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you see more of it, especially tonight and who knows, maybe early into the year as well.
Troy, always good to catch up with you. Thanks for a bit of an insight into the drafting process the Cats put in place coming into 2019 and also a bit of a chat about where Joel's heading as he heads into season number 13 on the AFL list. It's time has flown by
quick.
Very, very, very quickly. Prestige Jaco bringing us Troy Selwood as part of our build-up to this one. Good to see you, Sels. Enjoy 2019.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Troy Selwood, for joining us.
The pre-game interview.